In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Bravo Docket. We're going to be talking about the Marco lawsuit, and Angela's been doing a deep dive, and I know you've been so excited to get to this one. So finally have a Saturday free to just sit and go fully into the docket on all the allegations here and all the evidence.
I was really excited to dig into this one. There's a lot here. We're very interested in going through everything. We've also correlated a timeline of other relevant events that were happening with Tom and Erica Girardi around the time that these things were going on with the Marco lawsuit. People should watch the documentary because you can hear the Marco designers telling their own side of the story from their own voices. And it's very powerful.
Very powerful and very heartbreaking. And I don't think the lawsuit gets into that. I don't think he put the full ramifications or the impact that this had on his life, but the documentary gets into it and it's sad.
The lawsuit is still in very early stages. We're going to go into these things later on after we go through the facts and the timeline and kind of both sides of the story as it's been pled. The defendants in the case, American Express, the Secret Service agents, and Erica and her assistants, including Mikey, have all used pretty much every possible procedural aspect they can to try to get the case to go away at an early stage. And so far, none of them have worked. So it looks like this case is going to go forward and we're going to keep reporting on it.
For those who don't know what the Marco lawsuit is, this is a lawsuit that a costume designer named Chris Sala is filing against Erica Girardi, who we know, American Express Company, Robert Savage, who's the head of Secret Service in Los Angeles, or was then, Kenneth Henderson, who's a Secret Service agent who pursued the investigation, Steve Scarance, who's a Secret Service agent who also pursued the investigation, Peter Grimm, who's an Amex employee and bank investigator, Leia Ribatalada, who is Mikey's assistant and has been seen on the show. I think she also helps Erica on the show. And then Mikey Minden, who's Erica's creative director slash assistant, who we've all seen on the show. And it's in the Central District of California.
Federal court. All right. I think we're just going to jump in. The complaint is really long and really detailed. So we're just going to go ahead and jump in and start reading this and give some explanations and commentary and context as we go through it. But this is, again, as we always say, this is a complaint. This is one party statement of the case. As we're going through this, try to think about it like you would a judge or a clerk reading this for the first time and try to put your biases aside and look at it just from the facts and whatnot as they're presented.
The first title is Plaintiff's Credit Card Charges to Defendant Erica Girardi's Amex Credit Card Were All Authorized and Legitimate. And so plaintiff here, again, is Sala, who's one of the two designers who make up Marco. So at all relevant times, plaintiff Chris Sala was the managing partner of Marco, a Hollywood, California-based celebrity costume design brand catering to the entertainment industries, including music, television, theater, and motion pictures. Clients of Marco include famous personalities such as Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, and Katy Perry, among others. Chris Sala and Mr. Morante, who's the other Marco, he's the other Marco Marco designer, and he's Puerto Rican. I just want to flag that, a fellow Puerto Rican. They started Marco Marco in 2003 and have been in business 20 years together, starting Marco Marco from the ground floor up. In addition, Marco Marco has designed for American institutions such as Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, the San Francisco Ballet, and the Houston Ballet. That's weird. I've lived in those places.
Yeah, you have lived in all those places.
Yeah. And I've been to a Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey show when I was little. Anyway, plaintiff Sayla and Mr. Morante built a successful business and reputation for delivering high-value costumes for entertainers. In 2022, Marco Marco won an Emmy Award for costume design. And I first heard about them through Drag Race. They design a lot of drag costumes.
Yeah. Their costumes are objectively gorgeous. And just to preface this, one of my many, many hobbies that I don't have enough time for is sewing. Sewing is incredibly difficult. It's not just design, it's also architecture. It has to look good from all angles, and it's art that has to have a function. And these types of costumes that they're designing for performances and that are custom made are very expensive. They're incredibly labor intensive. They're original designs. We've all seen Erica rolling around on a stage, but we've also seen other very high octane performers wearing these costumes, and they have to hold up under the lights, under pictures, and while the performers are moving around, and again, look good from all angles. So this is a highly skilled artisan that is making these costumes.
Especially on drag performers too, they have to work with different proportions and get that right. The drag performers, you know, are trying to look some like a woman. So they have to get those proportions right. And then like I used to dance and we had to have rhinestone costumes, and the rhinestones alone are so expensive and time consuming. And these costumes, I was going to say, we'll show you pictures. I forgot we're on a podcast, but I think I posted some pictures on our Instagram of their costumes. They're just fully rhinestoned, and that's a lot of labor and cost of supplies. So these are expensive costumes, but they're also beautiful.
I'm just going to go back to the timeline for a minute. So this is all going on around 2014, 2016, and Erica was likely negotiating for her spot on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in late 2014, probably got hired in 2014, and then they started filming in August 2015.
I looked up her songs, and in 2014 is when she released Painkiller.
Yes.
And that was, she had other hits before that, but I think that was one of her big hits and one of her hits that was focused on the show.
So from 2014 to 2016, and we're going to go into this in the complaint, that's when Erica's purchasing these costumes from Marco Marco.
Well, one more thing. Then they appeared on the show on December 22nd, 2015, and that was season 6, episode 4. It was called The M Word. That's the one where Lisa Rinna makes a shocking suggestion about Yolanda's health, and that's where she goes and visits Marco Marco's store. So they were on the season.
So paragraph 29 of the complaint, Erica Girardi, having heard of the business success of Marco Marco, had commissioned Marco Marco to design various outfits for a nascent singing career and her appearance on the popular television show, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Over the course of approximately 30 months from 2014 to 2016, Erica Girardi purchased from Marco Marco numerous costumes and clothing items for herself and for members of her performing entourage. These costumes were worn for stage performances, as documented at times in the television show The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. As a customer of Marco Marco, Erica Girardi made purchases using, and this is a side note, what we now know as the infamous American Express card imprinted with her name. And as you know from our previous episodes, this is another sidebar, there was something close to, what, $20 million on that card that they totaled up over the course of multiple years, like close to a decade?
I think so. But now I'm like, was it 2? Was it 12? Was it 20? I think it was 20.
It was yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It says, on information and belief, Erica Girardi used the Amex card bearing her name as an authorized user associated with the account of her husband, Tom Girardi, the account holder solely financially responsible for the credit card charges.
So purchases defendant Erica Girardi made from Marco Marco were authorized by Girardi or her assistants. So it's Leia and Mikey, whom Erica authorized to make purchases on her behalf. When Erica met Sayla for the first time, she provided her credit card number, Amex account, and then there's a number, expiration date, and security code, everything plaintiff would need to submit a credit card charge to Amex. In a meeting between Erica Girardi, Leia, and Mikey, and Marco, and plaintiff, at the beginning of their business relationship in 2014, Erica specifically authorized Chris to charge her Amex card for invoices for costumes and services. At this meeting for a costume fitting, the plaintiff said he would send her invoices and handed defendant Erica Girardi a hard copy of the first invoice. She physically waved the invoice away and said it would not be necessary. She did not want to be given the invoices, a practice not normal for Chris Sala, who customarily provided his customers with invoices.
Two things. First, when we say plaintiff, we're talking about Chris Sala, who is the one that was arrested because of these claims that Erica and her team made about the charges. So if we say plaintiff, we mean Chris Sala, who's Marco Marco. And two, I can 100% see Erica not even wanting to look at an invoice. I mean, she talked about that in her book. She talks about that and how much she spends on glam, you know, $40,000 a month on glam, all of that. I don't think Erica cared to look at invoices or would even ask for them. That seems very realistic to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, later she even says she didn't get access to the online account until later in 2016. So she wasn't even looking at the invoices,
right,
of her credit card. So
right,
it's not surprising. But yeah, they also use Chris. So it's Chris, plaintiff, and Sayla.
Should we just pick one name?
So
should we just call him? Should we just say Chris?
Make it sure, easier? Let's just call him Chris. But it takes us a second to flip it in our head.
Yeah.
Different one.
So for 3 years, until the dispute arose in November 2016, defendants Erica Girardi, Leia, and Mikey never asked to see the invoices nor disputed any charge made by Chris to Erica Girardi's credit card account. So another thing I want to bring up, it was in the fall of 2016 that Girardi's money troubles sort of started to bubble up, at least more to the public view. We know from the LA Times article and from other things that around fall 2016 is when Girardi was starting to have to borrow heavily to fund his law firm. So from the litigation lenders that we've talked about in the other episodes. And apparently this is also when Girardi finally started paying attention to Erica's charges on the American Express bill. And Ceci, do you want to read the little excerpt from the LA Times article about this from fall of 2016?
The head of LA office of the U.S. Secret Service, Lorenzo Robert Savage III, thought he was being shortchanged in a lawsuit over a defective braking system in his family's Volkswagen minivan. And Tom Girardi, then at the height of his power, was borrowing heavily to fund his law firm and increasingly upset about the size of his wife's American Express bill. To address their respective problems, Savage and Girardi and their spouses turned to each other. Girardi agreed to represent Savage and his wife for free in a bid to extract a larger cash settlement in the minivan case. When his efforts failed, Girardi dug into his own pocket to pay the family at least $7,500. The same month, Savage arranged for Secret Service agents from a financial crimes squad to meet with Erica Girardi about what she said were excessive charges to her credit card by a Hollywood costume firm.
Woo. That entire LA Times article is really good. You can find it online. The LA Times has done amazing reporting on this. But now we're going to go back to the complaint. So for 3 years until...
Wait, did I read that already? But just remember that Secret Service guy.
Yes, remember the Secret Service guy. Erica Girardi and her assistant, Leia, and her assistant, Mikey, or her stylist, Danny, would order custom costumes as well as alterations and service repairs for Erica and her dancers. Marco Marco would design and illustrate the costumes for approval, create, sew, and embellish the costumes, and would hold fittings with Girardi at the company's Hollywood studio. Marco Marco was consistently asked by Girardi, Leia, and Minden for alterations on Girardi's department store purchased clothing, repairs and maintenance on performance costumes, and materials kits for Girardi's tours. Marco Marco provided all deliverables to Girardi, Leia, and Minden, who were authorized to act on her behalf. At no point prior to November 2016 did Erica, Leia, or Minden ever dispute any of the charges.
That's kind of insane to go to a Hollywood costume designer to get your like department store purchases altered. Just go to the corner alterations lady.
It makes sense for Erica. It probably wasn't just alterations. It was probably other stuff too. Rhinestones on this or stretch panels that he was really good at doing because he makes those amazing... catsuit costumes that move with your body. And with the way Erica likes things fitted, I wouldn't be surprised if she had him custom alter some of that stuff.
I guess, but, I mean, I don't have an American Express credit card. Like, I think I would go to him for the fancy costumes. I'd hire someone else local for the rhinestoning. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't have an unlimited Amex account or credit card.
Must be nice.
Well, no.
It wasn't
nice. Yeah. She didn't have it either. So.
What Erica says about this is that, and remember this for the timeline. So this is September 2016. So Erica says, and this is from a motion that was later filed where Erica's trying to strike the complaint. But Erica says, and this is a declaration that she has signed and submitted to the court, saying that sometime in 2016, Tom Girardi began to complain to me on multiple occasions that I was spending too much on my AMX card. My husband's complaints concern me. This is Erica again. Although I had no visibility into our finances, Tom Girardi had not otherwise complained about financial problems, nor had he mentioned to me that he or his law firm had needed to take on debt or that they were behind on any outstanding debt obligations. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with anything else, by the way. Eric is just adding that in. When I asked Tom Girardi what charges he was referring to, all Tom Girardi did was mention high dollar amounts with no specifics. Well, for Erica, that could be anything. About a month later, Tom Girardi complained to me again about supposedly high and excessive American Express charges. I asked for specifics, but received none. Based on my husband's complaints, I decided to try and get access to my American Express account. In September 2016, I called American Express, but could not provide security information because I did not know it. The American Express customer service agent reassured me that she recognized my voice from watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and gave me access to the American Express account. Now, Ceci, what do you think about that?
That is insane. Well, first, insane she doesn't know the security information, but I already knew she didn't know how to gain access. But for the Amex person to just give her access, that is insane. Insane.
I don't know that I believe that.
The fan, you don't believe it? Well, if it happened, the fan listening to this that did that, that is insane. Do not do that. Insane. But why do you not?
So,
yeah.
I have an American Express Platinum card. It's nowhere near what Erica's is, but I have one. And when you have the card and the number and the stuff on the back to it, and you know where you live and you know your zip code, you can get access to your account. I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten passwords and whatnot. I just find this unbelievable. And also, that she didn't need to say is unnecessary.
The security thing is unnecessary, but it's just showing that she never double-checked the charges. I think that's what she's trying to get at. But yeah,
but
you
she's
have to do some security. I mean, on most credit cards,
no,
not
you
just
do.
The Amex one, but she said she didn't know any of them.
But she knows where she lives. She has the card because she's using it. So she has all the numbers on it. She knows other identifying information. So while she couldn't, for example, get access to Tom's, John and I share the same American Express account. He can call and get access to the charges he's made on his card.
But like, isn't this a firm credit card?
But it was in Erica's name. Anyway, it doesn't. They gave her the info, so she got it from American Express one way or the other.
But I just don't understand why she would lie about it.
I just think
it's so unnecessary to put in here. Why even lie about that?
This is just me speculating, but I think she's got her own reasons for doing these things and unnecessarily putting in a declaration to the court that the American Express customer service agent reassured me that she recognized my voice from watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and that that's why she got access to the American Express account is unnecessary. She called and got access.
I thought what you were going to say is that she's trying to make it seem like this is all Amex's fault.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Legal team. Have you guys been on Quince's website recently? I shopped on there like 3 years ago for the first time and bought myself a bunch of cashmere sweaters. I lived in the black cashmere sweater, lived in it. And I hadn't shopped on there for a while because my cashmere sweaters lasted for a really long time. But I decided to go back on there and oh my gosh, have they completely expanded everything that they offer. The workwear, they have washable silk. And I mean, it's so affordable. I also shared with you all that I'm recently engaged and I'm in the middle of wedding planning. So anytime I'm shopping, I'm thinking about wedding. And they have everything I need for the wedding. I just booked my honeymoon. We're going to go to Southeast Asia. It's going to be hot there. And I've been looking for good linen pieces. Guess what? Quince has good linen pieces and they start at only $30. Then I'm like, okay, we need to get our wedding bands. You know who has fine jewelry now? 14 karat gold, Quince. So I send the link to Avery and I'm like, you have to get your wedding band from here. It's affordable and it looks just like any other wedding band. I mean, it looks great. Another thing I'm doing, again, I have a wedding on the brain. I want to look my best. So I'm like, okay, I really want cute little matching sets to go work out in. It's the only way I can get motivated. I have to like wear a cute little matching set. I've gotten really into Pilates and guess what? Quince has the matching sets. They look identical to matching sets I've already purchased from another sports brand. They have the same thing and at a fraction of the cost. I was able to get two tops and one pair of pants for the same price that I could only get one set at this other sportswear place. I mean, come on. Quince is just killing it. If you've shopped there before, it's time to go back on again. They have just completely expanded the categories of goods that they have to offer. They're not just all about cashmere sweaters anymore. They have got a ton of stuff, and I highly recommend you go check it out. If you're ready to go try out Quince, go to quince.com/docket to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That is quince.com/docket to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That is an amazing guarantee on their goods. So go check it out. I highly recommend it, guys.
Yeah, she wants to make them look bad and like they are negligent as well.
And then she also says Leah was with me when I made the call. So she's trying to set it up like they're fraudulent.
Leah is also a defendant and she's, you'll see as we go on. So it says, subsequently on September 19, 2016, I received an email from American Express confirming my recent enrollment for online access to my account. And then she attaches that as Exhibit 1. And Ceci and I were cackling at her email address when we first looked at this. We're not going to tell you what it is, but it's something like Erica Jane Sparkle Princess Pink Pony, something. It's something ridiculous like that. So in an opposition motion to another procedural action attempting to dismiss the case filed by the defendants, Chris of Marco Marco states that, again, none of them complained about any of the charges made to the Amex card during the nearly 3 years of business relationship until September 2016. And this is from a declaration that Chris gives, and he says, on September 19th, 2016, defendant Minden called plaintiff Chris to inquire about a recent transaction charge to Girardi's Amex card for a balance payment on two Swarovski embellished leotards. These were duplicates of leotards, which she showed off on a Bravo TV feature and wore while performing a routine filmed in Mykonos, Greece, called It's Expensive to Be Me. I remember that episode. I remember them all posing or whatever by that pool in Greece. Minden said Girardi was surprised by the charge and thought the price was too high. Chris did not believe the price was too high, but decided to refund the balance until Girardi could speak with his partner about the price.
Pursuant to the course of dealing, so this is Chris's complaint. Pursuant to the course of dealing established between Marco Marco as merchant and Erica Girardi as customer, Erica and or one or more of her agents, Leah and Mikey, communicated orders for purchases and corresponding charges were made pursuant to the express standing authorization given at the beginning of their business relationship back in 2014. That authorization was never revoked during the course of dealings until the dispute arose in November 2016. All invoices and services were authorized through their course of conduct via telephone calls, electronic mail, text messages, or in-person contact with personnel at the Marco Marco studio, and evidenced by the fact that the costumes were all supplied to defendant Erica Girardi and members of her performance entourage worn in their performances. So to summarize, what in normal people language, what he's saying is that even if there weren't invoices exchanged, like she received the costumes, someone always signed off on the costume. Someone was always saying, hey, we need another costume. And then he would provide it and he would charge her for it. So it was just how they established their relationship.
Yeah, that was their ongoing pattern and practice and course of business. And legally, when you say agent, you can authorize someone to act on your behalf. It doesn't have to be written down. It doesn't have to be formally memorialized. But if you own a company or you have people working for you or with you, and then you send them out to do your bidding, they are your agents and they can, you can, you know, be like, hey, I want you to go get this stuff from Marco Marco, and then I need you to pick this up and do that, and then tell them to make this and A, B, and C. And they are acting on your behalf, and so they're your agents, and just how this would work.
Yeah, agency law and the fact that there can be this offer, acceptance, regular course of dealing relationship that is recognized by contract law. Anyway, so going back. On two subsequent occasions after the initial authorization was given at the first meeting, Erica Girardi, through her agents, reauthorized the use of her Amex card twice by Marco Marco, thus authorizing Marco Marco's use of the Amex card for the costumes and services he provided her throughout their course of doing business. On the first reauthorization, the Amex card had expired, and Shirlene Fujimoto, Tom Girardi's executive assistant at Girardi Keys, on behalf of Erica, sent updated credit card information by email to Marco Marco. On the second reauthorization, Marco Marco had changed software, necessitating updated credit card information. Leia, on behalf of Erica, provided updated credit card information to Marco Marco. Ms. Girardi's Amex card expired two times during their course of dealing, and Erica, through Leia and her husband Tom Girardi and his assistant, caused them to reauthorize her card twice and provide updated credit card information. By her conduct, Erica gave actual and implicit authorization for the charges to her credit card.
None of that sounds weird or off to me with what we know about Erica and even Erica's own statements prior to all of this happening of how she did things. As a customer of Marco Marco, Erica, through her agents, purchased during 2015 to 2016, approximately $934,000 worth of goods and services, 132 separate transactions, all of which were charged to the American Express card. And that is a lot of money, but again, 132 separate transactions.
It's $7,000 per costume.
Yeah, that's actually reasonable for a bespoke custom costume. That's incredibly reasonable.
I mean,
It's not reasonable that she needed 132 or whatever.
No, she's not.
Or however many it was, but it's reasonable. That's not what I'm saying is reasonable. I'm saying his charges are reasonable.
I know, but I was just going to say, you were saying it seems normal given what we know about Erica, but I'm almost positive even the major celebrities still require like a receipt. I honestly think she's in the minority here. Even major celebs would require an invoice and a discussion of price. This is very abnormal to just give your card and be like, yep, just charge it for everything. Go ahead, charge it. And rewear the same outfits throughout their tour. So for her to have so many different outfits is insane. Like, look back at videos of Britney Spears during her biggest tours, like her circus tour. She always wore that same opening ringleader costume for every opening number. So it makes no sense that Erica has to have a different outfit for every show and music video, I understand, but every show, I don't understand that.
That's entirely unnecessary. And I mean, not that it's the same thing, but when you did like competitive dance, would you have a new costume for every single dance event or would you kind of reuse some?
No, it was one costume per dance.
Yeah, when you did that style of dance, you would wear the costume you already had.
Right. So it's like when I was salsa dancing, we had a dance that was kind of based on like Arabian. So we had like a purple Princess Jasmine costume that we all wore.
Oh my God, you must have looked so cute in that.
Oh, I was older, so I looked great. It wasn't cute.
Oh my God. I was imagining you as like
No,
seven.
When I was salsa dancing, I was older.
How old were you?
14 or 11 to 14 or 15? Yeah.
Yeah, a Princess Jasmine costume at that age. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was Princess Jasmine when I was little. So
that's.
I kept it and I like wore it for Halloween costumes after. But yeah, we would just wear the same, you know, because it had to go with the dance. We couldn't wear that Jasmine costume for the jungle dance that we did. So.
No, but you're absolutely right. Like Taylor Swift has more money than anyone and she's not throwing all of her costumes in the garbage and getting new ones for each concert.
Mm-mm. She might like bring out a new one to spice things up, but for the most part, she wears the same thing.
Yeah, you're making a really good point here. I think from watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I was so accustomed to just Erica being Erica and over the top and spending so much. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, why would you need a different one for every different event that you go to? That doesn't make...
It's not like the same people are seeing her perform. Well, maybe. Maybe she has.
Right.
Like, the same 10 fans that follow her. And not all of her performances were televised, so...
No, and it's not like even that many people were seeing her performances unless she was doing them on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on an episode that got aired. It's
insane. It's insane. Yeah. It is insane to have a $7,000 costume every time.
Now that we're talking about this and kind of thinking through it out loud, back to the September 2016 statement from Erica, where she's talking about how Tom Girardi began to complain to her on multiple occasions, building off of your very valid point. Sometime in 2016, Girardi began to complain to me, this is Erica, on multiple occasions that I was spending too much on my American Express card. Well, that spending too much on the American Express card is not the same thing as someone cheating you. Or stealing from you. Apparently, it didn't even occur to Erica that maybe she shouldn't be buying new costumes every time and spending all of this for me. Or someone must be doing something wrong. And that's why Tom's complaining about the charges. Not because I'm just spending too much money. I didn't know what charges he was referring to. All Tom Girardi did was mention high dollar amounts with no specifics. So if any of this of what Erica's saying is true, Tom Girardi, who... ostensibly in 2016 hasn't had the car accident yet and is still totally fine, even if we believe what he's saying about that. Tom Girardi would have access to these American Express charges and was a very smart attorney, would be able to be like, oh, this looks like something fraudulent. But instead, even in Erica's own words, sometime in 2016, Tom Girardi began to complain to me on multiple occasions that I was spending too much. So stop spending so much. Easy solution.
I don't think she knew how much these costumes were worth. So then when she saw the total, she was like, oh, crap. Because that is really expensive.
I sew. And he had to make a pattern just for her. And then he has to make a new pattern every time she wants a new design. And then he's also doing drawings. Which typically, like if you have something custom designed and made, you pay for the initial design consultation. You pay for the initial drawings. Then you pay for revisions of the drawing. Then you like there's the cost of the fabric. Then there's the cost of the labor to make it. And then the bespoke fitting. All of the materials, and as she'll go into this, and so will he, about how she wanted things to look more expensive than
they were. I still don't think she thought that they were that much money.
She's not stupid. Okay, me, $7,000 for a bespoke, custom-made costume by one of these designers is, I feel like that's infinitely reasonable. But, and she was probably honestly getting charged less because she was buying so many.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to give her like the benefit of the doubt. All I'm saying is that...
No, you can. It's a safe space to do that here.
But I'm not doing that.
But you can.
I'm not.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I think she thought that they were going to be less. And so the whole reason that she did this alleged thing that she did to him was because she was like, I cannot believe I spent that much money. We have to get it back.
I don't know. The way Erica presented herself for so long on the show and even in her own book and everything else, I think she did not give a shit how much anything cost and thought the money was endless. I do think she thought Tom's money was never going to run out. And I do think she didn't care how he was getting it. Then all of a sudden, Tom's like, well, if you want to keep doing this, you got to get the money back somehow or whatever. We need money back. So she participated in this to try to get money back. But I don't believe that Erica, who has grown up doing dance,
would
not think that one of these costumes would be $7,000.
Yeah, I think she could. My costumes are never that much. I think maybe she thought it was like $2,000.
He's making costumes for famous people, for Katy Perry.
Oh, I know, but she didn't even ask the prices.
She knows how much her Cartier ring costs.
She knows that.
She knows she was spending $40,000 a month on glam.
But she like even says she never asked how much they were. She just was like, no, I don't even want to know. All I'm saying is she probably was like shocked at the total. Yeah.
Maybe. So Marco Morante, on behalf of Marco, have evidentiary and documentary proof this is paragraph 36, have evidentiary and documentary proof that they supplied all goods and services representing all 132 transactions with Erica Girardi for the years 2015 to 2016 and that were processed on the American Express card. The evidentiary proof that will be produced in discovery is comprised of text messages, emails, sketches of costumes sent to defendants, invoices, order invoices, proof of delivery emails, and Googled internet photos showing Erica Girardi wearing the outfits corresponding to the AMX charges. The evidence in this case establishes beyond all dispute that all transactions that defendants Erica Girardi, Leia, and Mikey, conspiring with the AMX defendants and the Secret Service defendants, claimed were fraudulent were authorized legitimate charges where the costumes and services were supplied. All of the charges were authorized, none of them were fraudulent, and defendants knew it. In Chris Salah's indictment, he was charged with seven counts, counts 2 to 8, where he allegedly charged Erica Girardi's Amex card, but failed to supply the goods and services. Attached as Exhibit 1 is the evidentiary proof that establishes beyond all doubt that Chris Salah and Marco Marco supplied the costumes and services represented by those seven invoices for those seven counts. Chris has similar proof for all 132 American Express transactions.
She has an email where Erica sends the seven charges that she's disputing or has issue with.
Yeah.
It's crazy that she found seven out of 132 where she's like, this one seems wrong.
Actually, I think they sent all the stuff to the Secret Service and the Secret Service was like, we can't find receipts for these. And Erica was like, oh yeah, those are right. Mm-hmm. He stole that. That's what I think.
Salah, Marco, and Marco Marco tracked all, like Marco Morante that's why it's Marco Marco. Anyway, continuing. Coordinated orders, fittings and deadlines, and efficiently communicated all logistics for good and services produced for defendant Erica Girardi through one or more of her assistants, including Leia and Mikey via text message, email, and proof of delivery text messages. Erica, Leia, and Mikey were in possession of the outfits, text messages, emails, sketches of the costumes sent to defendants' emails, and proof of delivery text messages that established the goods and services were providing, establishing that they knew they received the goods and services underlying the credit card charges. More basically, Erica and her performance crew had the outfits exclusively provided by plaintiff. There was never a time Marco Marco did not timely provide the costumes and services. And Erica, Leia, and Mikey never complained that they did not receive the goods and services represented by the Amex charges. Until November 2016, Erica, Leia, and Mikey never complained once about the charges. Well, it's because Tom started complaining.
Yeah, Tom started having money troubles, and then Tom, for the first time, is complaining about the American Express charges, and now, suddenly, Erica is complaining about them.
She's like, crap, I gotta get find some money.
So we still have a ton more to get through. I think this series will have to be 3 episodes at least, just because of the amount of back and forth and exhibits involved, and we want to get through it all. So tune in next week for the next part of this episode. Thanks for listening, Legal Team.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain.
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The Bravo Docket is part of the Acast Creator Network.